always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. More cuts are coming to the federal workforce. President Trump has instructed agencies to come up with plans for where to cut. Elon Musk was invited to the cabinet meeting today to explain things.
DOGE is a support function for the president and for the agencies and departments to help achieve those savings.
The Supreme Court heard arguments today in the case of Marlene Ames, an Ohio woman who says she was fired from her state job because she's heterosexual.
I feel like maybe in the future, at this point, everyone will have a fair bite at the apple on discrimination.
It's the first such case heard during the new Trump administration. Chris Livesay has the latest on the Pope.
He's able to eat on his own without any assistance, so some signs of improvement there, but he is not out of the woods. His health team continues to stress he is not out of danger.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Another person involved in the methamphetamine and cocaine trafficking organization in Wausau has been sentenced. 44-year-old Tommy L. Haney of Wausau has been sentenced to 14 years in federal prison. The charges include conspiring to distribute 500 grams or more of both meth and cocaine. This multi-year investigation identified Haney as a local leader of the trafficking organization. Eight others have also been charged in connection to this case. Six have been charged and sentenced. The two remaining individuals have pleaded guilty and will be sentenced in the coming months. Haney's 14-year prison sentence will be followed by 5 years of supervised release. How would a measles outbreak affect Wisconsin? Savannah Tolme Olson has more information.
The measles outbreak is getting worse in Texas, and experts are hoping the virus doesn't make its way to Wisconsin because the Badger State is vulnerable, even more vulnerable than Texas. At least 90 people there are now sick. Almost all of them are children, and almost all of them are not vaccinated against measles. Dr. John Brownstein, an epidemiologist who focuses on the spread of illnesses in children.
I'm worried that with the growing increase in unvaccinated kids, that we're just unfortunately seeing the tip of the iceberg when it comes to measles in this country. When you layer a very infectious virus in close quarters with many kids that are unvaccinated, that is a recipe for a disaster.
Wisconsin could be a prime place for that disaster. Only 85% of kindergartners statewide have both doses of the measles vaccine. That's the second lowest rate in the country behind Alaska. If your child needs a vaccine, your pediatrician is the best place to start. You can also call your local health department. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks fall short in Houston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks played well on defense, but missed shots on offense. They lost to the Rockets, 100-97. Head coach Doc Rivers.
This is one of those games that'll keep you up at night. It really was. And I thought we would have a big advantage from the three-point line, and it was a dead heat.
Men's college basketball, Wisconsin and Marquette, both with wins at home. The Badgers beat the Washington Huskies, 88-62. John Blackwell scored 24 points.
Started off with the defense, just like getting after it. Listen to what coach said. Let my offense game do the work for itself. So, yeah, I think it was just a defensive end.
Marquette trounced Providence 82-52. Baseball, Brewers with a 9-6 win over the Cleveland Guardians. At the NFL Scouting Combine, will defensive back Jair Alexander be back with the Pack?
Yeah, he's never said anything differently. And, I think he loves Green Bay. You know, again, we'll work through that as we go through the offseason and see where that leads.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry. Low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again. Highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday. High upper 40s to 50. It's 42 right now.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic. Joann Fabrics closing. Does it affect you? Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, February 26, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk to our great friends from the ODC. We got Sammy joining us. We'll see who else tags along. We're going to start right now, though. Want to shout out Lance Plimmel. Usually, Lance is with us at this time. He's not able to be with us right now, but because his staff and him are so good at this, they set up somebody for us to talk to, and we get to hang out with Chad Schooley from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. I was just telling Pam the other day, Chad, we don't get to talk nearly enough with you. It's great to have you in, man. How you been?
I've been very good. Thanks for the invite. I always like coming in and giving updates.
And we're going to update people on a number of different things today. I can't wait to do that. I do want to shout out our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Do yourself a favor, if you haven't done so already, go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on all the great work that they are doing. Appreciate you guys over there doing some great stuff. Chad, you guys are busy and doing some great stuff with the Parks and Forestry Department, especially with the changing of the seasons happening here. I imagine you guys are doing a lot behind the scenes. I want to get an update with you on some of our local areas, and we'll start with the trails and get an update on that. How are the trails looking? What can you tell us about that?
Sure. So as everybody's aware, we had a very brief winter season.
Blinked.
Very frustrating for those that like winter, you know, snow activities. Not so bad for those on the ice. You know, we've had some pretty decent ice for ice fishermen this winter, as opposed to last year. I mean, people couldn't even really get on the ice, at least with their vehicles. Short and sweet of it, trails are closed. Snowmobile trails are closed currently. Two of the clubs actually never even opened up this season.
Really?
The remainder did have a short stint between a week, maybe 2 weeks for some of them. So it was a pretty short run season, which is too bad because those clubs, they put in a lot of time and effort, you know, getting them ready in the off season, getting them signed, mowed, brush back and all that good stuff. So a lot of work for just a very little payoff. So
I feel for them. I feel for our friends up north and so many people that are affected by this. Interesting to think of compared to last year. We're thankful for what we had this year, and hopefully we have a better winter next year for them. And that there is innovation. You know, it comes from the strangest and most interesting of places and struggles. I am very impressed with and admire a lot of what we're seeing up north and with a lot of these businesses and a lot of these clubs kind of just finding, okay, well, how do we keep this relevant? How do we keep this around and what do we do to it? I do want to take a time, even though they didn't have a lot of time, to shout out all the homes and people that own land that open up their land to these trails and all these clubs for the work that they do put into this and keeping these things alive. We appreciate that. It's a very popular hobby, big part of our economy, and we need these groups and these people doing these things, so we greatly appreciate it. Hopefully they have more time next year.
Yep, that's all we can hope for, right?
I feel like that's a bit of a preview of a Powers Bluff update, let's go ahead and get an update on that too, Chad.
Sure, yeah. So Powers Bluff, so we actually doubled the days that we're open this year from last. Unfortunately, the number is 4. Last year, we were only open 2 days, so we doubled it, but it wasn't a real good season. We are closed currently. We were open the past 2 weekends, Saturday, Sunday, had excellent crowds. So fortunately, again, you know, all the time and effort that our staff put into getting the hills ready and all that good stuff, There was a short payoff. You know, a lot of families were able to get out there and enjoy the hill. So that was good. In addition, as I've talked about over the last few times I've been here, are the trails out there, the new trail system. Again, volunteers, you know, we have volunteers that have been grooming the Fat Tire bike trail out there. That too is currently closed, just too soft of conditions. And I just want to remind people that do utilize those mountain bike trails. You know, this time of year going into spring, these trails are very vulnerable, especially out at Powers Bluff, because the surfacing essentially is clay, right? So when clay is dry, it's hard as a rock. It's a great surface. But when we have these freeze-thaw times, you know, very vulnerable to rutting. And once there's rutting in there, water stays in there. A lot of work that goes into basically repairing things that didn't have to be damaged in the first place. So please, just asking that people, you know, obey the signs out there. We also, if you want current updates, our volunteers actually post current updates on our website, as well as on TrailBot. It's an app, or you can download it on your computer or what have you. But that's where the most up-to-date information is. In addition to the mountain bike trail, we also have the multi-use trail out there, which again was groomed for Fat Tire biking, snowshoeing, and cross-country skiing. Parts of the trail within the woods, you know, there's still snow cover, mm-hmm. but anything that's been exposed out in the field, anything that gets any sunlight really it's gone. You know, mm-hmm. the base is gone. So for that trail, the multi-use trail, use your discretion. You know, it's not going to be in great condition by any means. That's kind of a Powers Bluff update at this point.
So, Chad, taking in consideration the things I was talking about earlier, and with all the empathy in the world, I ask this next question because I am a big believer in silver linings. And I think that no matter what happens in life, you can find some silver linings. You got to do some digging sometimes, mm-hmm. but you can find them. With the current situation and the way things are there, I hesitate to use the word positives for lack of a better word, but are there some positives we can take from this as far as for the Parks and Forestry Department? Are you guys able to get a head start on other things, save money in the budget here and move it here? Just not without trying to dig too deep into it, Anya, is there things that we can kind of take from that?
Well, and a part of that really is going to be what we get into next. You know, this winter has been awesome for the purpose of going into a park that we're taking over. You know, as of January 1st, we have taken over the maintenance of Sarah Park, right? And we're going to get into that a little bit more, but that has, this time has provided all of our staff to come together, do a lot of work out there during this winter season. So
that's great.
That's definitely a silver lining. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chad hasn't been here in a while. Look at him teasing ahead here. This is great stuff. Very well done by you. Chad Schooley with us from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And let's get into that, Chad. But first, you guys have a Parks and Forestry Open Spaces survey going on right now at their website, and encourage you to bookmark it if you haven't done so already, woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. What can you tell us about this survey and what were you to expect with this?
No, I appreciate you bringing that up. So this is a process that we go as a department. We go through every 5 to 7 years. It's a requirement through the Wisconsin DNR. Any basically governmental entity that would like to apply for outdoor recreation grants that are administered through the Wisconsin DNR are required to have an updated, up-to-date, comprehensive plan. And so that's one of the reasons. Obviously, another reason is to get feedback, get the public's input as far as how are we doing? You know, that's very important. We always want feedback as far as what's working, what's not working. But also looking ahead for budgeting purposes, grant writing, things like that. What are you wanting within our parks and forestry areas? So a part of that process is putting together a public survey. And as you mentioned, that is available on our website. People can go through it. Basically, it takes, you know, depending on how quickly you click through it, 10 to 15 minutes. So it's a little longer, but it's very thorough. It goes through all of our properties. Speaking of Sarah Park, the first section of that survey is really asking for feedback for those that have been to the park, you know, asking, you know, what do you like, what would you like to see? But it's also asking for feedback regarding the name of the park itself, right? So question number one is basically asking, you know, what do you think we should name this park? Should we keep the name? Should we have kind of variations of the name? Or just give us an idea, right? Mm-hmm. So under the comment section, you can basically give us anything you want. Once those are all compiled, and actually next Thursday is when our next committee meeting is, I'm going to bring that committee, or our committee, a summary of all of those suggestions, and hopefully there's going to be a decision made on the actual name of the park moving forward, because we want that to get done with, because we need to update signs, we need to update maps, all mm-hmm. that stuff, and we don't really want to do that twice, right? So yeah. We want to get the name pegged down.
And certainly want to be able to open the park up as soon as we're able to and everything. Just rewinding a beat, that the survey is important for so many reasons, and while it may take 10, 15 minutes, that's time you're investing. You're investing in your community. You're investing in the betterment of our community. Chad would be the first to tell you that you guys are the bosses. We want to know what the boss thinks. We want to know what you guys think. We want to know what you guys are expecting and everything from our Parks and Forestry Department, especially with some of the changes we've experienced in the last couple of years. Right. Your feedback is vital to the work that's being done by our Parks and Forestry Department. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. And I like, when I do these kind of things, when I fill out surveys like that or anything, I always like to have, okay, I'm going to do that, and I have ice cream afterwards. I give myself a carrot at the end of the stick, because I'm a teenager, basically. But whatever you need, go out there and do that, fill that out, and have some fun with this too, because this isn't normal for communities necessarily to be having what's going on with Sarah Park, and the opportunity for you to have input on this and really be able to dig your hands in and be like, oh, what would I like the name to be, or what would I like to see changes happen? Your feedback is not only important, it's darn near necessary to be able to make these decisions and for Chad and his team to be able to do the work here. Right. As far as Sierra Park goes, Chad, and we'll give people the email again for where they can fill out that survey before we wrap up. But when it comes to Sierra Park, I want to get into this with you a little bit, because I feel like this is almost an underreported story right now. And maybe in part because, to me, I think of this as a big story, and maybe it just is to me and some others or what have you. And I don't want to say that as like we have some amazing reporting going on for a rural community, for a small community here. Caitlin and the work she does at the Wisconsin Rapids Tribune, and our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids City Times, our friends at Rapids Community Media, and my favorite reporter, Melissa Kay, might be a little biased on that one, but I'm not wrong. We got great reporters going on in here. And with all that said, this is a story that is still developing and still very interesting to me. How did this begin? How did this conversation even start with taking over that park?
Right. So, and I think this is a piece that really is underreported, kind of some of that background history, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, I forget which month, but so mid-year last year, right? Mid-2024. I was contacted by representatives from QIPCO, which is Consolidated Water Power Company, and they're actually the owners of the property itself. So since the early 1970s, that property was essentially leased by the employee group at that time, Consolidated Papers. Employee group, you know, they had a board of directors. They essentially spent, a lot of time, I'm sure tears and sweat, essentially developing that park, right? It was developed for employees and family members of employees of the mill. And so it was very, and it still is very personal to a lot of, people that still live around this area that had years of employment through Consolidated or those companies that essentially, purchased over the years.
Yeah, a lot of memories at that park.
A lot of memories. They had a pretty active softball league out there. They had a top-notch swimming pool facility, tennis courts. I mean, it was a really, it was an awesome park.
Full functional park.
Yes, yeah. In its heyday. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to today. Obviously those mills have either closed down or they've downsized or what have you. The participation of the upkeep, the funds, Another thing that a lot of people don't know, a lot of the funds that went towards development and maintaining that was actually directly from proceeds from all the vending machines in Wisconsin Rapids Mill and different mills that, wow, that were owned. Huh. The volume of people that worked there at one time, right?
Sure.
So
yeah,
all those funds went into a kitty, and that was used for developing and maintaining, wow, that park. That's not there anymore, right? So the funds have kind of somewhat dried up as far as, you know, upkeep and things like that. I don't know how many years ago, but essentially at some point they went from kind of a private park for employees and their family members to opening it up to the general public. Even with that, you know, the revenue that they were bringing in just wasn't kind of making the cut as far as being able to keep up with maintenance and things like that. So the owners, representatives from Quipco, decided that the lease was coming up at the end of 24. They kind of wanted to change direction. There are some restrictions and regulation that they have to follow because of their license through FERC, the Federal Energy Regulation Corporation, or I'm not sure what that stands for.
Yeah,
but
that's a good question.
Anyways, it has to be maintained as a public access point along the river. And so it's not like they could have just sold it to a developer or something like that. And so according to them, we were the obvious choice, you know, being in that field, parks and recreation, forestry, all that good stuff. And so they approached us. I brought it before our committee, and there's been nothing but support as far as basically adding this park to our already outstanding fleet of parks, right?
So really extends that stretch a little bit more. And while there is some work and maintenance to be done, and certainly with as regarding the survey information taken from the community about what to expect or what you want from this park, you are getting something that is there's a blueprint already for.
Yeah, you know, it's functional. You know, it needs a little updates, but you know, it's got a functioning campground, right? There's 59 electric sites, 6 non-electric sites. It's got a large shelter building, a smaller shelter building, basketball courts, playgrounds. Again, kind of outdated. We're going to have to be doing some replacement of those features. But yeah, I mean, it's a location right on the Wisconsin River, beautiful, right across the river from Anchor Bay and some other activities on the beer and flowage. Very popular location. It's a great spot. So
and longtime listeners know that I can't help myself of connecting dots and all that. And we started a lot of this conversation talking about some of the hits our economy has taken, the hits that some of our local businesses or clubs have taken with the lack of snow. One of the big things that is going on right now is, how do we counter that? How are we going to make up for that economy? How are we going to make up for that time and all that? I'm not saying that this is going to fix all of that, but here is an option. Here is another revenue source. Here is another opportunity for people to go and do their hobbies, or a place to go and have some fun, a recreation area that, again, is not built, but is so, like, the foundation's there for you. You got a lot to work with this.
Right.
This is such a smart investment. This is such a smart... I'm a big fan of repurposing things. Never thought about repurposing land or a park or something like that, but that's what we're doing here with this, is reimagining it, re-looking at it, and seeing, hey, community, what do you think? What would you like to see out of this park? Longtime people in this community, too, not only the ties and the memories they might have to it, but for a lot of families as well, hey, you know, I never got to go to that park. My family wasn't a part of the mill.
Right.
I want to go check that out. We've been going to Point for how many years, driving past it and everything, kind of want to go check it out when I actually be inside and stuff. There is so much... opportunity with this that seems very exciting.
Yes, it is extremely exciting.
Yeah. When it comes to the survey, which again, we encourage you to go woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. You'll be able to find it right away going there and going under the Parks and Forestry Department tab.
Yep.
And going to SurveyMonkey, which is one of the better named websites I've ever seen. It's a great name. But you'll be able to fill it out there. And we encourage you to do that to get this data. How long do they have to fill out the survey? Is there a time frame when we're going to take it down and collect this data?
Yeah, there is not a set date. We're looking at, you know, as far as updating that plan, the next step really is compiling information over the next couple months here. So again, nothing, you know, if you go on today or next week, it's still going to be up. It's just at some point we're going to be compiling all that data. So,
and when you guys know, I'm sure you'll be putting it on social media that, yes, hey, the survey is going to end in a week or something like that. So another good reason to like and subscribe to what they're doing on social media at the Parks and Forestry Department to keep up to date on those things. And I did have in one of my questions, what's next for Sierra Park? But we kind of answered that, really.
Well, there is one other thing I wanted to mention is that right now, it's not live on our reservation system. I know we do get, you know, phone calls almost on a weekly basis, just checking out, you know, when can we start reserving? The reason being is that we do have that project as far as remodeling the shower building. It's bid out. We're supposed to be receiving those bids next week, with the intent of opening up Memorial Weekend. And that's basically what our intention is.
Yep. That's awesome.
Which is about a month later than our other parks, but it gives us a little extra time to get things organized and up and going, things like that. So be on the lookout. We're going to post it when we have a firm date, but that is, as of right now, that's our plan, is Memorial Weekend and running through the summer here. So
just very excited about this. I do want to warn you, though, Chad, with all this going on, we're going to have you back more often, man.
Oh,
we
got
to keep
right.
people up to date on this one. You're going to be doing some work over the next couple of months. And we appreciate the work that you, your team, everybody is not only putting into this, but our Parks and Forestry Department and all that covers. It's I think for a lot of people out there, if you haven't done the digging on this one, take a look one time at how much our Parks and Forestry Department covers in this area and the work that they're doing. You guys working hard over there. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we have an awesome staff. Couldn't do it without them, obviously. So,
if people have follow-up questions, Chad, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Go on our Facebook page. We've got links there. You can email us, give us a phone call. We're on Facebook, so you can message us. Currently, our Monica from our office is doing kind of a trivia, tying it in with our 90th anniversary this year, which again is just makes Sierra Park that much more exciting. Kind of tying it into that 90 year and looking forward. So,
and congratulations about that to the Parks and Forestry Department. And yes, go check out their search, their Facebook page. I throw it in your search bar. It'll pop up right away. I tested it yesterday morning and it worked really good. And you can have fun with it as well, because you guys do a real good job with that. And it's a great way to keep up to date on different things like the survey and other stuff. You can also find out more at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Chad, thanks again for the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And a big appreciation to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like and subscribe to the work that they are doing on social media as well, and share it on your pages. You just never know who might see it otherwise. We will be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Karis, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A woman was arrested on Tuesday in Monroe County for stealing money from the town of Adrian. Kelly Slushner, age 50, is being charged of withdrawing sums of money from the township accounts while working as Town of Adrian treasurer. Slushner was booked into Monroe County Jail on charges of misconduct in office and theft. The investigation shows she is being charged with stealing over $294,000 since April of 2022. Tax cuts are a key part of developing plans. Lisa Hale has more.
While Republicans from both chambers met Tuesday afternoon to determine budget priorities, Voss criticized Governor Tony Evers for not working across the aisle during the current budget cycle or the last one.
So 95% of our tax reduction was vetoed by Governor Evers, which is the basic reason that we have this massive surplus right now in our state budget. So we're not going to use that surplus to grow the size of government. We're going to use it to reduce taxes. So my hope is we can find a plan that we agree on, send it to Governor Evers, cut taxes, and then we have money left over to be able to focus on where we're going to invest going forward.
Voss spoke about GOP budget ideas during a WISC politics luncheon at the Madison Club yesterday.
Former Wisconsin State Representative Katrina Shanklin will be the next executive director of Rust Belt Rising. Shanklin served on the Wisconsin Assembly for 12 years. She represented District 71, which includes Stevens Point and the surrounding rural areas in Portage and parts of Wood in Adams counties. Shanklin worked to increase access to affordable health care in rural areas and supported farmers with conservation and water quality, passing 225 bipartisan bills into law under both Democratic and Republican governors. As executive director of Rust Belt Rising, Shanklin will work to train Democrats and provide research and programs to rising leaders in the Midwest. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is streaming news as Oscar-nominated films make their way to the small screen, with the Academy Awards right around the corner. A Complete Unknown is now available to stream. The Bob Dylan biopic is available on Amazon Prime, but it ain't cheap. The film could be rented for $24.99 or purchased for $29.99. So if you really want to see the film before the Oscar broadcast and have a kidney to spare, go ahead and sell it and check out this really good movie starring Timothée Chalamet, Ed Norton, and Monica Barbaro, all of whom are nominated for an acting Oscar. Wicked pulled in $727 million globally, which is the most ever by an adaptation from a Broadway show. The film is now also available to watch at home. It broke records on its first week of digital release, which began December 31st, and pulled in another $70 million. If you have Peacock, you can watch the film March 21st for a much more sensible price. Nickel Boys is also now available to stream for $20 on Fandango at home. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry, low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again, highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday, high upper 40s to 50. It's 42 right now.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Pat Kreitlow.
It's my final day off, which means I recorded this a few days back. Will Todd Alba really be filling in for me on Thursday? Only he and his bail bondsman know for sure.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, February 26, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and I am joined right now by some of our favorite people. We got the ODC with us right now, and we're going to be talking to Ann and Sammy and Mark, and I will let you all introduce yourselves so the audience can put a name to the voice and some of that. And we'll start with you, Sammy, who is on the phone with us.
Hi, I'm Sammy Sinsky. I do the Better Together program for ODC, which is our friendship matching program.
Thank you so much for being here, Sammy. I promise I didn't have you introduce yourself just so I knew how to say your last name. That is not at all what I was doing there at all. No, my last name's Maloff. I mean, it's just as difficult. Don't worry. But thank you for being here, Sammy. We do appreciate it. And we'll be talking with you more in a moment. Anne, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, Anne Lee Pack, Director of Public Relations and Fund Development for ODC.
Anne has a booth here. She hears here so much. We love that. We love talking with you, Anne. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Always appreciate when you're able to bring a guest in, and we got a special one with us today. Mark is joining us from the ODC. Mark, good to have you here with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here, Mark. And if I understand right now, we had some plans here of how we were going to start the show, but Mark had other plans. We're going to go ahead and follow Mark's lead here and everything. I'm going to clear the lane and let Mark and you guys talk a little bit about the 60th anniversary coming up, Anne.
Yeah. So, you know, as we shared, I think, last month, you know, we're real excited that we're sharing celebrating our 60th anniversary. And Mark is very passionate about that. And I think I shared last month that I had been with the organization for 33 years. And as we were talking, Mark, you've actually been with ODC, participating in a part of ODC since when? For how long?
Just 38 years ago.
Wow.
38 years, yeah.
That's pretty cool, Mark. That's pretty cool. That's impressive.
Yeah. So we were just talking on the way over, just some of the things that, you know, I asked Mark some of his favorite things or, you know, how things have changed. What have been some of your favorite things or how has life changed for you over those 38 years since you've been with ODC?
I would say about the same.
About the same?
Yep.
Well, you don't live at home anymore, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. You have your own apartment?
Right.
Okay. And then you're doing some work at ODC?
Right.
Yeah. And Mark is really one of those guys that really enjoys the marketing, public relations, fund development aspects. And so he likes to really get involved in, you know, just the events that we do, supporting those, volunteering. And then he always has really great ideas of other things that we can do in fundraisers for the community. So he's, you know, approached us with, you know, can we do something so that we can donate to the Firefighters Memorial? And we did a food drive, I think, for the Humane Society. And so Mark really has a passion for giving back to others. He's just real excited to have been part of ODC and seen the transformation and all of the things that have changed for him and his life as well.
I appreciate this so much, Anne. And great job with the questions there. Don't get too good at this. I need this job. Don't take it from me, Anne. But no, in all seriousness, those are great questions. And it leads me to want to ask Mark, you know, just kind of piggybacking on what you were saying there. How you imagine your life, Mark, without the ODC? You know, if we didn't have an ODC in our community, that's a heartbreaking kind of thought to have. Just your story alone is so impactful and so such a great growth and evolution for you, going from where you started, I imagine, to now having your own place and the independence that you experience. I imagine that's got to feel great. That means a lot to you,
right?
Yeah, that's really cool. And I appreciate you being here and sharing this with us in the audience, man. These stories are so important to the fabric of our community, the tapestry of our community, all that. I love being able to bring these kind of things too, along with obviously a perfect example of what the ODC is about and the impact it makes, not just on individuals, which is certainly noteworthy, but the economic impact it makes and the impact it makes in almost every layer of our society. It's incredible work you guys are doing over there, and Mark is a great example of that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and we're pleased to have Mark part of our team and always helping us to put on some good events and some public relations and always willing to help. He actually reached out to me last night.
Halloween
event he came to and supported that as well. So always willing to help. So
Mark, why was it important to you that you made sure today we are going to talk about this 60th anniversary?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what is it about that you're so excited about the anniversary, about this?
Because I was born in the same year.
That's
good.
Sense.
Yeah.
I never really know, you know, it was kind of Mark's idea. He's like, we really need to do something for our 60th anniversary. And I, you know, I guess I didn't realize that.
Mm. Wow. Awesome. Nice.
On the 21st of November.
Okay.
That'll be the big 6-0.
Yep.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. Ooh. Well, then we better do a big celebration then.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing a lot of celebrating happening over there at the ODC. That's fantastic. And we are very excited about this. This to celebrate it with the community as well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And being able to let everybody celebrate on this one.
Yep. Absolutely.
We will let's dive into some events now and talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on over at the ODC. And we've got Sammy with us to do that. Sammy is the ODC Community Light Development worker over there, and she's working on Better Together program and some other things. Sammy, what can you tell us about this Better Together program and how it's helping the community?
Simply put, Better Together is a friendship program. We all need friends and connection. And when we have been out in community recently, we've been asking people to come and talk to us and just tell us what friendship means to them and what they cherish about their friendship. And it's the little things, right? They say, like, it's just talking to my friend. It's giggling with my friend. It's sharing a meal. It's sharing my struggles. It's going for walks. It's all of those everyday moments, which makes friendship special. So when we talk about the Better Together friendship, it's matching an adult with a disability to someone in the community to form a friendship for all of those little life moments. So we don't say that like it has to be big and grand. It's the everydayness that makes the program so special to have a friendship that's just for you.
It's a wonderful idea and very well worded. And I think one of the more relatable things as adults, one of the things I love when we have the ODC on is showing those parallels, those connections, the things that we have in common, not just with the ODC in general and the staff and the people there or anything, but just the empathy that it creates. And I think that and I've talked about this on our morning show a number of times, the older you get, the difficulty in making friends. And just how you know, think about it much, but it's actually kind of difficult, and it's not always easy. And the older we get, the we go more stuck in our ways, or are what we think and want and everything, or have less opportunities to be in parts and events that where you can make friends. Something like this is really showing, giving an opportunity for that, for people to make new relationships, make new friends, and along with celebrating the ODC and some of the great things you guys are doing over there. Like recently, Sam, you guys worked with the Cookie Jar, one of those businesses. I have to get over there. I'm a big cookie guy. I am a cookie connoisseur. I don't want to brag. Are you, Mark? All right. We might have to compare notes sometime, man, because I love talking cookies. And they look like they have a great business over there and already a business that is putting into the community and working with our nonprofits. A tip of the hat to them for that. What were you guys doing with the Cookie Jar, Sammy?
As part of a grant that we got as ODC, we're expanding the Better Together program from just Stevens Point area out into the Wisconsin Rapids area and the Marshfield area. And so every quarter now we're doing an event with a community member to share about Better Together, to raise awareness about the program. And of course, in hopes that people will sign up to be a friend. But the reason we partnered with the Cookie Jar is because we appreciate the small business. We appreciate being woven into the part of the community. And the family there is just really lovely. So we asked them to partner with us. So we got to share about Better Together with all of the people that came in. We also got to raise awareness about the Cookie Jar so more people will know about their wonderful cookies, which, yes, you and Mark have to go to. And they have Dirty Sodas. If you don't know about Dirty Sodas, that's the place to check it out. And so it's a reciprocal relationship. Like, yes, they're letting us come and tell people about Better Together, but we're also supporting a small local business at the same time. And that's who ODC is, and that's what Better Together is. It's never about one relationship. It's about building community.
It's one of the strongest things that our area does in this idea of businesses and nonprofits working together. And one of the things that I like to stress any chance I have when it comes to these things, if you are a marketer, if you are in sales, if you are running a business, it is marketing 101. One of the best ways to get a bang for your buck and more profit back or whatever is working with a nonprofit. There is no price you can put on good PR. And you get great PR working with our local nonprofits, especially an ODC or somebody like that. The good feeling, the good nature that you have from working with them, those feelings, you can't put a price on any of that. I hope that that's understandable right away. But just a touch to your, you know, if I can't reach your heart, I'll reach your wallet. This is just a smart business move. It's the right kind of way, because there's nobody who's ever worked with a nonprofit and been like, well, that was a waste of money. That doesn't happen. You get a bang for your buck, but you get more. you cannot put a price on good PR. Working like the cookie jar did, we're talking about them here. They didn't pay us for advertising, and you're getting free advertising right here. And I would love to work with them and love talking about them. And we love supporting local teams. But just as an example of what we're talking about here, that's the kind of stuff that can happen when you put your business and associate it with a nonprofit. The ODC has lots of great events throughout the whole year. We encourage you to reach out to them and be a part of this and show and see the example. You don't have to even, believe me if you don't want. You'll see the example when you do that and you hear me doing this like I'm talking about the cookie jar, things like that. It's just a great opportunity. And it feels good to be able to be a part of those things. And I want to continue that kind of conversation a little bit too, because we want to send a shout out to our friends at Save of the Arts and the Arts Council. We work with them a lot. Actually, I was just emailing with Sally this morning over there working out an interview with her. And recently, you guys all worked together a little bit on the Jeff Allen comedy show.
Yeah, we did. And we are so thankful to Sally at the Arts Council and the Jeff Allen show. And we just really wanted to thank the Arts Council and also the folks that came out to that comedy show. It was very, very well attended. It was a great show. And we were fortunate to be beneficiaries of $3 from every ticket that was sold. And then also some additional donated dollars that came in. We were the recipient of just over $2,100 from that show to benefit ODC and our Opportunity for Hope, our mental health clinic, which we've talked about quite a bit. And so we are just so, so thankful to have all of these opportunities to partner again with our communities and how we just work together to help support each other.
You know, that amount is amazing, but no matter what the amount was, that's amount that wouldn't have had otherwise.
Correct. And just Sally being able to share a little bit about why ODC was chosen for that, and then also we received the check. We had the check presentation at the February show, and again, just another opportunity to connect with our community and share what ODC is doing and what we're all about. So that's just awesome and amazing.
Sally was very excited about this, and she was just very, very happy to do this and loves doing things like this with the Arts Council. But I got to say, we got to interview Jeff as well, and Mr. Allen joined us on air and off air. I talked to him a little bit, and he really loved this. Like, he really appreciated it. And one of the things he really enjoyed was learning what the ODC was and the work you guys are doing over there and everything. So just a tip of the hat to him, too, as well for that.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to share and a shout out to Mark and some of the other folks as well. Mark and some others helped with stuffing of the programs for that event. And then they also helped with distributing the program. So again, just that partnership of supporting the Arts Council by also having some folks there to assist with that. So
very cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
We do want to talk about as well For Hope Golf Benefit that is coming up at Sand Valley.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share a little bit. That is coming up on May 15th. Again, it's a fundraiser to support our mental health clinic. This is really critical. Mental health concerns are still, very critical in our community. And so every dollar helps to support the work that we're doing. We're a unique clinic in that we're a not-for-profit and we're able to provide services to folks that receive Medicare, Medicaid, are uninsured, underinsured, and so that, there's an opportunity for everybody in the community to receive mental health services and support. So we're super excited about it. We have started seeking sponsorship opportunities, and I gotta say, we are doing very, very well. We are getting lots of sponsors for the event. It's a really awesome event. This is our fifth year. And so if anybody's interested in sponsoring or golfing, now would be the time to sign up, because we really don't have many, many spots left. And I would just like to do a couple of shout outs to some of our sponsors. We do have two lunch sponsors, Solaris and Exact Sciences. So thank you so much, you guys. And then our event gift sponsors this year, again, Gotcha Cranberry and Ho-Chunk Gaming in Nakusa. So just, again, so, so appreciative of the support for this event, and looking forward to some beautiful weather and a great event and making some money to support our mental health clinic.
My little brother loves this event. He's a big golfer and looks forward to it whenever it's coming around. So I know that it's around the corner when I'm getting texts from him. Hey, is it started yet? Hey, do you got any information about that? He always thinks I have like inside information or something like that.
Well, you could. You know how to find us.
I do need to just reach out. It's such a great event that the community loves getting behind. I'm not surprised to hear about the sponsorships filling up and everything. That's it's good. It's good news. It's a good problem to have. It's great. Yeah. But all that being said, I love these events as well that not only bring in different businesses and nonprofits together, but you're having people out there. They're going to have a good time. They're going to be enjoying themselves. And there's going to be moments when they're out there, maybe when they're walking up to the tee or something like that, or driving to find their ball or whatever. And they're going to be reminded of what this is all about and why they're out there that day. And how good it feels to be a part of things like that. Whether small or a big piece, being a piece of the work that's going on at the ODC isn't lost on this community. And speaking earlier to what you were talking on about how long you and Mark have been here and how long the ODC has been here, the work has been built. The foundation has been built. It's awesome to see these things. I also like to take these moments as we're getting to celebrate a big anniversary for the ODC to just take a pause and be like, man, this is impressive. This is really really impactful. The work you guys are doing, the community, the way other businesses and nonprofits are coming together, all of this to make our community that much stronger. And all this being said, too, the ODC having our back, the ODC being a pipeline for businesses in this area of like, hey, you need workers? We got people over here. So much of that stuff and the things that I don't think we get to talk about nearly enough, Anne. Yeah. It just all comes together with an event like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yep. We are just so, so thankful. And I got to say, you know, mental health, you know, in some way, shape or form, I think touches everybody in our community. And I think, you know, a lot of the sponsors and people that participate, you know, there's definitely a personal connection. And So, I think it's just a great event that supports people who really need the support.
Got a couple minutes left with our friends at the ODC. So we did want to touch on Entertainment to Empower. That is also coming up relatively soon.
Yeah, that's coming up real soon. Actually, March 13th. That is going to be held in Marshfield at Hotel Marshfield. We're super excited about a comedy sports event. And again, event sponsorships and tables for sure are filling up really fast. And so really, this is the last chance if anybody is interested. They can go to our website or give us a call because we have to finalize everything by the 5th, which is next week. So coming up real quick. And again, just want to shout out our gold sponsor, Forward Bank, and our silver sponsor, Hotel Marshfield. So want to thank everybody who's signed up and going to be joining us for a new fun event this year.
I was going to say, this is a new one, isn't it?
It is a new one, yeah.
That's really cool. Very cool idea. And such unique ideas over at the ODC. I love that part of it. These events that we're talking about, they always have something new or something cool, or just the event itself being new and fresh. That's a great idea, by the way, too. That's a popular thing right now. Yeah. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a good event.
It's going to be awesome.
We will be highlighting these on our morning show and our good stories of the day. We're going to make sure you guys get a great turnout. I want to remind all those businesses out there to reach out and be a sponsor with any of these events, and associating yourself with the ODC can never go wrong there. And Once again, this is on me as an interviewer. We haven't even scratched the surface of all the things going on at the ODC. We didn't talk about Ink Splash or Milkweed Market. Encourage you to find out about those, everybody. Go to their social media. You can catch it out there and share their posts on your pages. And, of course, you can find all this information at odcinc.com, odcinc.com. And thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you, Sammy, for joining us. Thank you for the time.
Have a great day. Thanks.
You too. And Mark, this was a great interview. And I got to tell you, man, between
can I
us.
Say one more thing?
Please do.
I bought a ticket at a baseball game.
Okay.
Wisconsin Rapids Red Hawks.
Yeah,
I'm going to do that again this year.
Very cool. Very cool. Oh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. You're going to have a blast. That's going to be a fun time. That's good. Thank you for that, Mark. And thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you, Mark.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you both. And we'll have more good stuff coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM WFHR, where we're going to be wrapping up the week of Midday Magazine in the next couple of days. Our Thursday episode will feature Family Natural Foods. And in part two, Janelle Weir from UW Extension. On Friday, we'll catch up with the ADRC. And in part two, we will talk with our Wisconsin Rapids Superintendent of Public Schools, Ron Rasmussen. All that coming up for you right here. And of course, we'll have some other great stuff on the radio dial for you. Be sure to join us for Playmakers. We'll have that from 5 to 6 Wednesday and Friday this week. And we got great basketball on the radio dial too. I don't want to skate past that. 6:40 Wisconsin Women's Basketball hosting UCLA. Be sure to catch that as well right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump said today there are more cuts coming to the federal workforce.
We're cutting down the size of government. We have to. We're bloated. We're sloppy.
Agencies have until mid-March to come up with where to make the cuts. For federal workers who still have jobs, the wait is painful. Randy Irwin is president of the Federation of Federal Employees.
Oh, we are absolutely in a crisis mode. They've created a toxic work environment, and nobody wants to work under those conditions. It's not worth it. They don't pay federal employees enough to put up with this garbage.
A child in Texas has become the first U.S. fatality from measles in a decade. The outbreak in that state has now spread to 9 counties. Dr. Amy Thompson in Lubbock.
More than 20 patients have been admitted to the Covenant Children's Hospital. We have several of those who have required intensive care.
The outbreak is the largest Texas has experienced in nearly 30 years. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, we welcome our friends, family, really, family.